So we're here this afternoon to share about our experience with surrender and acceptance. And as I was talking to my husband, who is my qualifier, before, I said, if you just accept that I'm your boss, then you will surrender to my will. Apparently that didn't go over very good. So that's not what surrender and acceptance really means. But, you know, I've been thinking about this. I was gratefully asked to speak here. And so I've been thinking about this all week, and I was at a meeting the other day, and it was a reading not on this topic, but it really struck me as very appropriate for this particular panel. So I'm just going to start with this. Most of us come into Al-Anon for help as a last resort. We've tried everything else. Perhaps we've seen its effect on others, and it seems to have worked like magic, and we want some of that. Then we find that there isn't magic. It's kind of a spiritual common sense that we must buckle down and learn. We start like children in first grade with the first step. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And the second part of the step is easy to admit, but to the first part, we usually only give it lip service. And we find it difficult to surrender to the idea that we, the competent ones, have tried to cope with an alcoholic situation, don't really know to handle it correctly. Step one must be learned and repeated until it becomes a part of me. Whenever I give in to my natural impulse and habit to take over and try to force a change, I'm in trouble again. I know I can only make progress when I really believe and practice the first step. I pray to be released from my compulsion to control my situation. I have so often proved I am unable to control it. Let me think, know, and feel my powerlessness. Then I will at least learn to let go and let God. And so when I first came into the program, surrender and acceptance were not in my vocabulary. I think intellectually I knew what the words were, but emotionally I didn't know how to use those words. I was raised in an alcoholic home and forced to surrender to the alcoholic, who was my father, and forced to accept the behavior of my mother, who was fighting that disease the best way she knew how. She had no support, and there was four of us kids at home. And so, you know, even though I watched my mom try to kind of navigate herself through that troubled marriage and dealing with alcoholism with no help, and said to myself, I will never ever do what my mom did. I'm going to do the exact opposite. Fast forward 20 years later, I married an alcoholic and I did exactly everything the way she did. And that was to control and manipulate to try to get control of my surroundings, not realizing that I didn't have the power within myself to change my surroundings. That was up to my higher power. So I start coming to meetings and learn about surrender and acceptance. And the biggest part of acceptance for me was the acceptance that alcoholism is a disease. And I dug into the big book. So I've been coming to meetings for just over 30 years. And I know there isn't as much literature available then as there is now. So I really use that big book a lot. And it was good for me because I wanted to get away from that thinking you are doing this to me. And action you take is a result of something I did or didn't do. That's the way I thought. And to find out that the alcoholic was suffering as much or more than myself was very eye-opening and helped me to recover in my own program. And so for my personal story, that was important. We hung around with a group of people who were in recovery and sobriety, and we'd all meet for coffee after our meetings. Oh, did you read 449 of the big book? What does it say? And no. So then I would go home and memorize 449 of the big book, and then I'd come back for coffee the next day and I would be asked a different question. So, turn. I've got this. I know the answer. When I look back on it now, it really took a weight off my shoulder when I realized I didn't cause it, I can't cure it, and I can't control it. What? That was a new concept for me. And so then what it did for me is allow me to start looking at myself, which was not fun at the beginning, because all those attitudes and belief system that I had that I used to blame on the alcoholic were not of his doing, but they were of my own doing and how I interpreted his disease. So surrender and acceptance came for me with step 1, 2, and 3. And when I accepted that it was a disease, the next part of that was to surrender to something higher than myself, which was my higher power, which I call God. And I came from a background where God had a big old finger pointing down at me all the time, and I was terrified of God. That's just, not that my parents, I don't think intentionally meant for that to happen to me. And when I look back at of my Sunday school teachers and my church, it was just my small little mind perceiving what I thought they were saying to me, and that was that I wasn't a good person and I couldn't live up to God's expectations. And so to have that, someone asked me to surrender to a higher power, holy, that was terrifying. But I was so willing to be like the people that I saw at meetings that I was willing to do anything. So 1, 2, 3, okay, I'm gonna do that. Got on my knees, in fact, with my husband, and we did the step 3 prayer together. And then I got a little bit more courage and I went and did my 4 and 5. And so here I am on my 5 going to a church to talk to a minister. I can still to this day vividly remember driving to that church, and I felt like I was gonna throw up. I was so scared of talking to a minister and so scared about sharing all these ugly thoughts and who I was inside. And I went there and I walked through it and walked out of there, and it is a feeling like you've just lost 100 pounds. It was just a weightlessness feeling, and I was so grateful for that opportunity. And there was a couple things in my 5 that I had to totally surrender. How do I do that? She asked me to go home and write on a piece of paper some of these 2 or 3 key issues and burn them and let them go and surrender. And that's what it is for me today. I'm a pretty visual person, and so when I think of surrender, I think of control. This is what control looks like. You're gonna do what I say, when I say it, and how I'm gonna do it. And acceptance is going, I can't do it anymore. And I forgot the last word. Surrender. And surrender is a prayer. And that's today how I'm looking at acceptance and surrender. Thank you for listening. And with that, I'll pass it on to Valerie. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Valerie, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. I did not grow up in an alcoholic home, but I did grow up in a home that was very rigid. I had a mom who was really demanding and a father who was very passive. And I remember, you know, doing anything to escape her wrath. And I was really resentful of my dad. You know, why don't you stand up to her, was what I thought in my head. And now I know that, you know, he was basically doing the same thing that I was doing. You know, he didn't want her wrath either. But I grew up with a very, in a church situation similar to Sherry's, where God was this God that was, you know, just measuring me and making sure that I was keeping up and doing what I was supposed to. So I was kind of like the perfect person for Al-Anon. I met all the criteria. I had low self-esteem. I was a people pleaser. I did whatever I could to avoid conflict. And it was just like, you know, I had this outside world. When people looked at me, had no idea what a mess I was on the inside, right? And so I met and married an alcoholic who was all of the things that I was not, right? So you gravitate towards that person. We were married for 12 years and divorced. I was on my own for a whole lot of time. And then, guess what? I met and married another alcoholic. So, and a friend of mine said, okay, I hadn't been to Al-Anon this whole time. A friend of mine said, okay, you were married to an alcoholic, and now you've met and married another one. Do you think maybe you should go to Al-Anon? And I'm like, well, it's their problem. I don't understand why I have to go. And I remember walking into my first meeting, and one of the ladies said, "Welcome to the club that nobody wants to belong to." And I thought, you know, isn't that the truth? But I, at that point, was spiritually broken. I was emotionally bankrupt. And more importantly, I was exhausted because I was fighting every day this disease that I hate, but I love the alcoholic, right? Mm-hmm. So it was really difficult for me, but it took me to that point, and I had really no choice. And the woman who is my sponsor, we were actually at a roundup, and one day at the roundup, or after one of the meetings, she walked over and she goes, "You're not looking real good." She goes, "You want to go for lunch?" So I said, "Okay." And so we went for lunch, and then she said, "You know, maybe you should try this thing." And so I went, and because at that point in my life, I was willing to blame every problem that I had on the alcoholic, because none of this was my doing. I was just reacting, I was trying to control it, I was trying to do all of that. And I was in a profession where control was really important, and it was really necessary for you to be managing everything. Works really well at work, doesn't work really well at home. So when I finally got to the part where I surrendered, it was like, okay, I just can't do this anymore. And like Sherry said, I looked at my sponsor, and she's always happy, and she's, you know, and I looked at other people, and I looked at other marriages, and I was thinking, like, why can't ours be like that, right? And so those are the things that brought me here. And at first, you know, I thought, well, I'll go for a year. Like, I'll be good. You know, after a year, everything should be fine. Because I really, you know, but I'm a lifer. Because my life today, compared to what it was like when I walked in the doors, is like completely different. I look at things completely differently. And I too was like Sherry. You know, when the alcoholic did something, he was doing it to me. And then all of those feelings, the anger and the resentment, and now, you know, like, you know, they're sick too. And I didn't realize that. And I didn't know how much they hurt till I started to go to some roundups and listen to the other side of the story. Because I had never heard the other side of the story. You know, alcohol wasn't, you know, a problem in our lives. And so I just thought, well, just stop. Like, why can you just not stop? And so anyways, this program has given me, like, it's so hard to describe, but it's like, I don't have any fear anymore. Like, that's the one thing that is so reassuring to me. Now, I have a different God now. I have a God that's not gonna punish me. I have a God that says, it's okay, Valerie, you screwed up today, you'll do better tomorrow. You know, and that has been such a blessing because it relieves that fear, and I can turn things over now and know it's gonna be okay. Like, even if bad things happen, it's still gonna be okay because he loves me and he wants what's best for me, and no matter what happens, he's right there, so. Thank you. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Cynthia, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon and glad to be here today. I got into Al-Anon to fix the alcoholic, truly to fix the alcoholic. And I had tried everything imaginable to fix the alcoholic because I didn't like his drinking, I didn't like the behavior that went with his drinking. And so when our son was two, we moved here, and this is when to Yuma, and I got involved in Al-Anon. And I have to say, I'm so grateful that I did find Al-Anon. And the reason for that is because I was having a problem with someone's drinking, obsessing about it. And I'm really glad that I found this program because it made me a better mother while I was involved in the program. Had I not had Al-Anon, it would have been I can't imagine what kind of mom I would have been. I mean, I had enough trouble the way it was in Al-Anon, trying to not focus on the drinking and, you know, keeping my eye on the alcoholic, but Al-Anon really helped me switch my focus and start to take care of myself and to take care of my son, who I was responsible for. So today, I did some research on acceptance and surrender. And one of the things I heard just the other day from my sponsor, which I thought was really good, she heard it in a meeting, and it was, in order to let go or to surrender, you first have to accept. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really true. And so I have a few things I want to read to you that I found on acceptance and surrender. From Hope for Today, page 284, I found this page to be helpful. Sometimes I need to work step one backwards. I don't always recognize when I am powerless, but I certainly notice when my life becomes unmanageable. Then I remember that usually when I'm feeling insane, I'm forgetting my powerlessness and trying to control outcomes or other people. My life quickly deteriorates when I indulge my ego and recklessly set out to change someone or something over which I have no control. In other words, when I try to get my way. I can be stubborn about it too. I can be very stubborn. Spending an inordinate amount of time and effort to that end. The inevitable result is pain, frustration, and utter failure. And I think that's how I felt when I first came into Al-Anon, all those feelings. Even if I acknowledge my powerlessness, until I accept it, I still experience pain. When I accept my powerlessness and surrender to my higher power's will, however, I gain some measure of serenity and humility. I become spiritually teachable. I wish I could say I always recognize and accept my powerlessness, and that's true for me too. If only I ask my higher power for guidance, let her do her part while I do mine, and then went on from there. Often this process really does happen, but I'm human. Sometimes I need to go through the experience of struggling with someone or something before I become willing to surrender and to accept reality once again. And I think accepting reality is really tough for me sometimes. Sometimes some reality is easier to accept than others. But when it's a difficult thing, it can be really hard to accept it and go, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to wish it away. I'm not going to worry it away, but I have to accept what's going on. I have to accept my reality. My recovery is about progress, not perfection. Each time I practice accepting my powerlessness, it comes closer to being a natural response. The good news is that with surrender and acceptance comes release from my pain. Mm-hmm. And that's the only time I get it, because if I don't start accepting and I don't surrender to my higher power, I'm going to wrestle with pain and I'm going to feel miserable for a long time until I can get there. The pain is not in the surrender and acceptance, it's in the resistance.
Mm, yeah.
And so when I'm not, you know, when I'm not working on my acceptance and surrendering, and I used to think, well, when I work the steps, you go through the steps one time, and then you do the surrender thing one time, and that's it. That's good. That carries you, you know. I surrender. Some days I have to surrender several times a day, several mm-hmm. times a day. And sometimes I don't do that, and then I get in trouble, and then I start out again. I found a few others that I thought were good on just a few little things I found that I thought were good. Acceptance and surrender are the two attitudes that open all doors to us in the Al-Anon way of living, yet they are the most difficult for many of us to acquire. No matter how badly we think life has beaten us, we still cling to the idea that acceptance and surrender are a kind of hopeless giving in, a weakness of character. Not so. Acceptance means simply admitting there are things we can't change. Accepting them puts an end to our futile struggles and frees our thought and energy to work on things that can be changed. Surrender means relinquishing our self-will and accepting God's will and His help. And at the end it says, God, help me to accept the responsibility for finding a better way of life through surrendering to you and your guidance. And I have just a couple more, those short ones. Acceptance does not mean submission to a degrading situation. It means accepting the fact of a situation and then deciding, what will I do about it? Progress begins when we stop trying to control the uncontrollable and when we go on to correct what we have the right to change. If we accept a situation full of misery and uncertainty, it's no one's fault but our own. We can do something about it. And the last one I have is, use the slogan somebody suggests at a meeting. Keep it in the forefront of your mind all the time and don't let your troubles crowd it out. Act on it. Take, for example, let go and let God. The more tightly I clutch my problems to my mind, the less opportunity I give God to help me work them out. The more tensely and desperately I try to solve them, the more the answers elude me. I will let go and let God, and if I can solve my difficulty, perhaps he will, if I can only let go and let him. God's help is always available. All we have to do is make room for him to take part in our lives and keep ourselves ready to accept his guidance. So I know this whole, I've been in the program since my son was 2, and I think he's 36 now. So, and unfortunately, the disease of alcoholism is an illness, and it is passed on genetically. So, you know, the thing I least wanted to have happen in my lifetime, I think, was to have my son struggle with alcoholism, and he does. Mm-hmm. And he's a beautiful person, extremely intelligent. He'd probably be a very high-functioning alcoholic, but I know he struggles, and I know that I struggle sometimes with his drinking. Thank goodness for this program, because I know that I don't have to repeat what I did with his father, or even in my second marriage. I don't have to repeat trying to beg him to get help, point out to him that he has a drinking problem. I don't have to do any of that, because I learned from that experience, it did no good. I learned from Al-Anon, it's not, I can't cure it, I can't change it, I can't control it, and I have to accept it. I have to accept that it's a disease. I have to accept that it's a disease that my son has, and that is very, very difficult. It's, for me, it's a very different place to be in than with a spouse, because it's my son. I guess maybe because, this is gonna sound bad, spouses you maybe can get rid of. Sons you're not gonna get rid of, nor do I want to, you know. But it's hurtful, you know, and so I have to work on this acceptance, and I have to work on this surrender to my higher power. And I'm not always good about the surrender part. I'm not always very good about that, because I have a fear of surrendering sometimes, because I think, oh my God, what is going to happen? What's going to replace, you know, if I surrender everything, my will, everything, mm-hmm. what's left? And that gets me back into another issue I have that I never understood at all until I got to Al-Anon, control. Because they would talk about my first Al-Anon meeting about control, and I thought, well, I don't have control, but I know he does. He has issues with control all the time, and he's always trying to control me. And I never saw control. I didn't understand it. There was so much I didn't understand about the disease of alcoholism and how it affects families until I got into Al-Anon. And now I'm very grateful for that. I know that I can turn my son over to my higher power, and I know that, you know, I'll probably be the last person that will ever influence him to go to AA. And he knows about AA. He grew up with an alcoholic father, in and out of sobriety, in and out of AA. He chooses to drink today. He grew up with a mother that has been in Al-Anon for years. So he knows where to go when he's ready to go. And I know one time he told me he tried AA and he tried Al-Anon. I mean, he could go to both programs. And he told me, Mom, he said, I'm not ready to go to AA yet. And I said, thank you for your honesty. Mm-hmm. And then I could let it go. But there sure are times when I want to think, how much did you drink? and we have two grandchildren. I have two grandchildren. And it makes it even, for me, a little more fearful. Mm-hmm. Because I don't keep tabs on my son. I don't know when he's drinking, when he's not drinking. I don't know if he ever drives in the car with his sons, if he's had a few drinks. I know he's blacked out. I know he's blacked out three times. Doesn't know how he lost part of his teeth. His two front teeth, the day before he was supposed to start his first teaching job. He passed out with a baseball team that he was with and fell on a hotel lobby, hit his head. I don't think he could have been drinking then. He just came from a baseball game, but one never knows with alcoholism. All I can do is offer him up in prayer, and my grandchildren, and my daughter-in-law, and be there for them. And I know that he's probably in a lot more pain than I am in pain over his alcoholism, and a lot more guilt. And I know he has trouble with his anger and stuff sometimes, but anyway, I'm getting carried away with this, but acceptance of that is not easy. And my only thing that can help with that is if I surrender to my higher power, because I can't do anything about it. And that really makes me angry. Still to this day, mm-hmm. that can make me so angry, yet that I can't do things about things I want to do things about. The things that I have no control over. The things that I have to accept are usually the things I can't change. And so I use a serenity prayer, and I keep coming to meetings. I use our slogans. I have a sponsor. She's wonderful. She's beautiful. And I have everybody in Al-Anon. And I have people in AA that help me understand what this disease is like. And it gives me some compassion for my son and for others and for all of us. Thank you for listening. And I'll turn it over to Sherry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was great. Wow. Okay, we still have a few.